Good morning. Welcome as we gather today and celebrate that we live under the grace and care of a God who not only gives his life on the cross to save ours, but having brought us to faith in Jesus, is now working to protect us as his people. You know, we live in a world and a society in which the devil is actively engaged and seeking to mislead us into all kinds of false belief and misbelief. And left to ourselves, we would never be able to survive. But today we remember and celebrate how God is working to keep us from getting misled into false beliefs and helps us in our faith and holding on to the truth. And so knowing that God is at work in his graciousness for us like that, let's stand as we lift our voices in praise, as the angels do to him, and join in singing, "Ye Watchers and Ye Holy Ones."
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor as ourself. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Savior Jesus, I forgive you your sin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated then as we continue with our hymn of praise. Lord, we gather today as your redeemed people in Christ. We know that we live in dangerous times, in a dangerous world with evil all around us. We're so easily led astray, so watch over us by your Spirit. Protect us, guard and defend us by and through your holy word. In your name we pray. Amen. Current Sunday, our Old Testament reading is recorded for us in Jeremiah chapter 23. We're going to be looking at this in our meditation today, but We see that in our own day and age, where so many people are being led astray by false teachers, well, that's actually not something new. It's been happening for a long time. And God speaks through his servant Jeremiah. "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord? I have heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, I had a dream, I had a dream. How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? This is the word of our Lord." In our epistle reading now from Hebrews chapter 12, after talking about all of the heroes of faith that have gone on before us in chapter 11, chapter 12 kind of is saying, all right, now that we've got that example, let's follow their suit. Let's not give in to sin. Let's throw off all of that bad stuff that hinders us in our faith and work in Christ, including those false beliefs that so many people are trying to fill us with. And so the Spirit led the writer to say, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Now, if you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." This is the word of our Lord. And we respond. We stand now for the reading of the Holy Gospel. This is the Gospel according to Luke chapter 12. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus went around preaching and teaching, he, of course, as God's son, always spoke the truth. Problem is as Jesus spoke that truth, not everybody liked it. Not everybody believed it. And so his preaching and his teaching, you might say, caused division between those who believed in him as the Savior and those who didn't. And that's what Jesus talks about here. He says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and how distressed I am until it is completed. Do you think that I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, and two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. This is the word of our Lord. Praise to you, Christ. You may be seated then as we join our voices in praise again, remembering that not only has Jesus bought us as our Savior and made us his own, but now he cares for us as his people. Let's join in our next hymn. Thank you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, God's grace and peace be to you this day as we gather in his name. Amen. You know, a number of years ago, if I remember right, I think it was back around 2001, I remember hearing a Christian radio station talking about a Christian denomination that was gathering together in convention. And as they gathered together in this convention, there was a vote that went on that was rather surprising. The delegates were voting on whether Jesus is Lord. And do you know that half of the delegates at that convention voted that statement down? Which just floored me. How could that happen in a Christian denomination that they vote down Jesus is Lord, especially when the Bible very clearly and constantly calls Jesus is Lord? Now, I suppose it would be easy for us to sit here today and kind of point the finger at them and say, oh, what terrible Christians those are. But do you know that about the same time that I heard that mentioned on the radio about that convention, there was a survey that was taken by an organization called Lutheran Brotherhood, which some of you may have heard of before. And they took a survey of Lutheran congregations in America. And here's some of the things that they found. 40% of Lutherans expressed doubts about Jesus being the only way of salvation, even though the Bible declares in John chapter 3, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. And then they found another statistic, that 50% of Lutherans didn't believe that a child is sinful at birth, even though in the Old Testament, King David exclaimed of himself these words in Psalm 51, where he says, surely I was sinful at birth. Sinful, in fact, from the time my mother conceived me. One other statistic that they found was that 60% of Lutherans back then believed that the main emphasis of the gospel is on God's rules for living. Even though over and over again, the gospel message proclaimed by the apostles doesn't focus on the work we do in life, but rather on the work that God did in Christ to deliver us from the punishment our sins deserve. That's what the gospel is. And Colossians chapter 1 reminds us of that very clearly. Paul writes, once you were alienated from God, you know, separated from him, and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you, brought you back together by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, not moved from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So notice the gospel is not about what we're supposed to do. The gospel is about what Jesus has done for us to save us. Now, as this little small survey shows, when it comes to people holding the truth that God has given us in his word and believing that truth, things are not as good in the Christian church as they should be. Somehow, a lot of us as people have been misled by the devil into believing things that literally simply are not true. Well, in that sense, what's going on today isn't really all that much different from what was taking place during the days of the prophet Jeremiah. So let's go back to our Old Testament reading there, and as we turn to Jeremiah chapter 23, we read these words in verses 23 and 24. God says, "Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Can anyone hide in secret places so that I cannot see him, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, declares the Lord?" Notice questions being answered there, and the answer is, yeah, you do fill the heavens and earth, Lord. And because the Lord fills the heavens and the earth, well, what does that mean? You can't really hide anything from God, can you? He sees it, and he knows all that goes on in our heart, in our life, in our mind. He also knows what's going on in the church, the Christian church, literally across the world. He knows what's going on within each denomination, within that church at large. In fact, he even knows what's going on in the life of every little congregation that's part of the Christian church, like Holy Emmanuel. Nothing is hidden. Now, as the Lord looks at his church, however, what's of particular interest to him is what's being taught. What's being taught amongst his people? You see, God knows that if his words are being taught, his words of faith, his words of life, his words of truth, then the faith of his people in his church will remain strong and well-fed. Just as Jesus himself said in John chapter 15, he says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples." You see, if we hold on and preach and teach that truth that Jesus has given us, that's what helps us spiritually. But if man's wisdom or errors or false teachings are proclaimed to God's people, well, then what's happening is our faith is being poisoned. It's literally being poisoned by the devil. And if our faith gets poisoned, it doesn't stay strong, it grows weak. And then those people that Jesus desires to hold on to, us, we begin to stray away from him as the Savior, and then we are in danger of losing our salvation. Now, apparently, during Jeremiah's lifetime, a lot of the religious leaders and so-called prophets had stopped teaching the truth that God had revealed. And in the place of God's truth, they were proclaiming, you might say, a message of their own desires, a message made up of their own human desires and ideas. Well, needless to say, not only was the Lord concerned, he was upset. That's not the way things should be in God's church. And so the Lord said, going back to Jeremiah 23 now, look at verse 25. God says, "I've heard what the prophets say who prophesy lies in my name. They say, 'Oh, I had a dream. I had a dream.' How long will this continue in the hearts of these lying prophets who prophesy," notice, "not what God says, but the delusions of their own minds? They think the dreams they tell one another will make my people forget my name, just as their fathers forgot my name through Baal worship. Well, let the prophet who has a dream tell his dream, but let the one who has my word do what? Speak it faithfully. For what has straw to do with grain, declares the Lord." Now, you know, reading what the Lord says there of his church back in the Old Testament times, you can only wonder, what would the Lord say about his church today? Because it seems like much of what's being taught and promoted in the church today is more in line with what our society thinks and believes than being in line with God's word and his revealed will. And what happens? We're caught in smack dab in the middle of all of that, aren't we? For instance, let me give you an example. I read a devotional booklet for men once that had a chapter dealing with secret thoughts. You know those thoughts that go through our minds that we don't tell anybody else and nobody knows about? Our thought life is something that we all struggle with as Christians. And yet, in this men's devotion, you know what the author said? He declared that thoughts are not sinful. Now, I couldn't help but raise an eyebrow at that, for that's not what God's word says about thoughts. In Genesis chapter 6, we're told these words: "The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was what? Only evil all the time." So, thoughts are and can be sinful and evil. And in the New Testament, Jesus says the same thing in Matthew chapter 15. He says, "Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." You see, those verses and others like them remind us, though we may not be able to control what thoughts pop into our minds during the course of the day, or even control the thoughts that pop into our mind in our dreams at night, nevertheless, such thoughts are not morally neutral. They can be, and often are, sinful. And the reason for that is that our thoughts flow from a heart that's been totally corrupted by sin. Now, I know that there are some who would say, "Well, why get upset over such small details, Pastor?" They would argue things like, you know, as long as Jesus is proclaimed as the Savior, all this other little stuff doesn't really matter, does it? Now, on the surface, statements like that might sound like wisdom. They might sound loving or even very appealing. But you see, it's precisely because Jesus is the one and the only true Savior that we should be concerned about what is being taught in the church, even when it comes to things like our inner thought life. The reason for that is simple. You see, this teaching about Jesus as being the Savior from sin, that's not just one doctrine or teaching amongst many kind of spread out around it. That teaching about Jesus as the Savior from sin is the central teaching of the Christian faith, to which every other doctrine or teaching in the Christian faith is in one way tied and connected to. And so if you err in one doctrine or teaching, sooner or later, that comes back to affect, or in fact, you might say, what you believe about Jesus as the Savior. So now going back to our thoughts, if it's taught that our thoughts are not really sinful as they are, well, what does that do? It lessens the severity or seriousness of our spiritual sickness. In other words, it makes us seem like we're not as bad of sinners as the scriptures say we are. And the less serious we think that our sinfulness is, well, the less seriously we take Jesus as the Savior who comes to deliver us from being punished for that sin that we say or do or think. And the more ammo Satan then has to lead us astray from Jesus. Well, knowing then that there are a lot of false teachings and spiritual garbage floating around, not just out there in the world, but in the Christian church, and that we're inundated with that false teaching in magazines and radio talk shows or TV shows and internet sites. How do you keep yourself from being misled by those false teachings and by those who don't proclaim the truth? Well, it's really quite simple. We turn again back in faith to Jesus as our Savior and Lord. Jesus once said in John chapter 8, if you hold to my teaching, and that holding is not just kind of grasping, but a sense kind of guarding it. If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And guess what? The truth will set you free. And we know that, right? The truth Jesus gives us in the Word about himself as the Savior and our sins, it sets us free from sin's death and that damnation that we deserve by leading us to put our trust in Jesus and his work for us as the Savior in bringing us forgiveness and salvation. That's how the Word sets us free. The gospel truth sets us free like that. But you see, that same truth that's given us in God's Word also sets us free from being misled by the devil's lies about us or God or our fellowship that we have with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. We need to be set free from those lies that are being spread too, and the truth does that. And that explains why God said through the prophet Jeremiah, there in verse 29, he says, is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks rock in pieces? We might wonder, well, what's the point that God is trying to make there? Well, he's kind of painting a picture with words there. Like a fire is used to burn impurities and metal away and leave only that which is good. Or like a hammer that breaks apart rocks, destroying that which is useless. Well, so Jesus' words of truth are able to reveal for us all that's false and burn that falsehood out of our heart and out of our life. Jesus' words are also able to break apart like a hammer those false beliefs which the devil has already somehow successfully embedded in our heart, and in their place implant in us those beliefs which are right and good and true. Well, as a gift of God's love then, given us in Christ, you see, we have what's needed to keep us from being misled in our Christian faith or life. Jesus has provided it all for us as the Savior. We have only to make use of those gifts that we've been given. So I encourage you, sure, read Christian books, listen to Christian radio programs, look at Christian stuff on the internet, but as you do that, don't forget God's word given us in the Bible. Read his word first and his word most, as the Holy Spirit kind of encourages us and exhorts us to do. In Colossians chapter 3, we're told, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And again, in 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter encourages us, like newborn babies, crave, notice, pure spiritual milk. That's the truth in God's word, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So people of God, let the Lord Jesus arm you in your faith with the truth, his truth. Get that truth of God given us in his word firmly under your belt and locked away securely in your heart and mind. And then, as you read books or watch shows or listen to speakers, well, compare all that you hear and what's being said to what the Lord says. Filter everything through that life-saving and faith-saving word of God. That which doesn't agree with God's word, reject and throw out as the poison that the devil's trying to sow in you. But that which does agree with God's word, cherish that and absorb it. For then and only then are they words of truth. Words of truth that are helpful for your faith and good for the salvation of your soul. Amen. Certainly, as we read God's word, we hear and learn that truth. Some of holding on to that truth means remembering it, right? It's why Christians through the ages have always memorized God's word, so that they've got it at a moment's notice. And as we hear God's word each Sunday, we take that again into our heart. And let's close our meditation now as we sort of summarize what are those truths that we've been taught, so we remember them and don't let go of them. Let's remember those truths now as we join together in confessing the Nicene Creed. And we say, I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We continue now with our offerings. We stand now for prayer. Lord Jesus, you have given your life as our Savior on the cross to rescue and deliver our lives from sin, death, and damnation. We thank you and praise you for your life-saving work. But we know that even as your Holy Spirit has drawn us to put our faith in you and we live under your eternal blessings, that the devil is seeking to steal us away again. And how does he do that? Through all these false beliefs that he tries to sow into our heart. Because if he grabs our heart, then our life and everything else comes tumbling along with it. So guard our hearts, guard our minds from his lies that he's seeking to sow through so many different avenues and so many different ways in our world. Thank you for giving us your words of truth and life. Help us love those words of truth and life and have an eager desire to have them, to feed on them, to hold them and guard them, because therein lies our safety. That is our armor to protect us. So let us not cast your word away, but be diligent in hearing it, learning it, and holding on to it, and sharing it and spreading it with others. As we ask for these spiritual blessings for ourselves, we pray that you would guard and protect your church across the world. Let it not be infected by the ways and beliefs of man, but stay strong and firm and steady, built on the foundation that you have laid for us in the Bible, given us through your prophets and apostles. We also pray that you would continue to be with Janet Bacalar as she's continuing to recuperate from her recent hip surgery. We thank you for the blessings of that medical technology that has helped Janet. We ask now that her body recuperates and recovers fully and completely. We ask this praying that your will be done. And we continue then and ask for all others' needs of body and soul, including our spiritual protection, as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is truly good, right, and proper that we should at all times and in every place give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, Almighty God. But mostly we're bound to praise you for the gift of your only begotten Son, whom you sent into the world, who laid his life down on the cross to pay that ransom sacrifice needed to bring us back to you and to live under the blessings of your love. And so with the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven now, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying, come now to receive this meal that Jesus has given us. On the surface, it doesn't look like much, but we hear those words of truth that Jesus gave to us concerning this meal, and we see that this is a wonderful, glorious, literal miracle that's taking place for the benefit and good of our faith and our souls. Our Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, for this cup is the new covenant promise in my blood, which I shed for you, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And we continue with our hymn of assurance. Thank you. Let's close our celebration of the Lord's Supper as we join in our hymn of thanks. We go then to live another week of life under the loving care of our Lord and Savior Jesus, and we go with his blessings upon us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. We close with our final hymn.